Hillsdale is a truly independent institution where learning is prized and intellectual enthusiasm is valued. Thank you for listening and my sincere appreciation to Hillsdale for their sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, our number is 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas. Does the government at any level have the power to tell you that? The answer is no. The answer is no. And they can't even use this virus as an excuse. No church, no mosques, no synagogue. Does the government have the power to tell you not to assemble? No. In fact, it's right there in the First Amendment. Freedom of assembly, the freedom of association. The government doesn't have the power to do any of this. None of it. In terms of this coronavirus, we've had worse viruses in our history. People talk about the virus that took place at the turn of the last century. Killed the equivalent of 2.5 million people. But it doesn't matter in the sense of the Constitution. There's no exceptions. There's no footnotes in the Constitution. Yes, there are health steps government at different levels can take, but they are not free to destroy your religious liberty, your right to assembly. They're not free to do that. Period. Period. The government is corrupted. The culture is corrupted. Individuals no longer care about their liberty. When people gather and protest what's being done, they're called white supremacists. They say we have two Americas now. We actually have more than that. But two in this sense. When you're being spoken to and talked down to by somebody on television who self-identifies as a journalist, they haven't lost their jobs. They get paid no matter what. The teachers' unions, their members get paid no matter what. The federal, state, local bureaucracies, they'll get paid no matter what. Now, there's some exceptions, but not many. In fact, in the county I live in, the teachers got a pay increase. They'll have their health insurance taken care of. Their pension payments will continue. They're utterly unaffected. Utterly unaffected. They go to the grocery store, the food's there. They fill up their car, the gasoline's there. They open their spigot, the water's there. The electricity's in their home, the natural gas is in their home, oil is they need their home. Everything is the same. They're utterly unaffected. Nothing's happened to them. And the vast majority of these individuals are Democrats. Not all, but the vast majority. So when we have these shutdowns or significant shutdowns in these states, economic shutdowns, and then civil liberties shutdowns, they don't care. Half the country doesn't give a crap. And part of that half knows if they go on the streets today and beat the crap out of people, calling themselves Black Lives Matter or Antifa, or if they set stores on fire or do whatever they want to do, nobody's going to stop them. The office of the president-elect, so-called, he'll put out a statement blaming white supremacists. White supremacists? What in the hell are they talking about? No, we need to continue to fight everywhere we can in every courtroom in the country, regardless of the outcome. Because everything's on the line. They've told us everything's on the line. Schumer said everything's on the table. Well, if everything's on the table, why will we surrender? Any single case, any single courtroom, why would we withdraw? That's why when you bring these Pollyannas in, these former federal prosecutors and others, I don't see the votes, I don't see the... Who cares what they see and don't see? They don't see the big picture. Or you have hosts on cable TV screaming at Trump people, where are you going to get the votes? Where are you going to get the votes? Where are you going to get the votes? When there are counts taking place, when there's litigation taking place, what do you mean, where are we going to get the votes? We fight and fight and fight and... Whatever it shall be, shall be. And so in this context, I want to read you a few things. I want to remind you who we are. I want to remind you how we got to the American Revolution. And the mere fact that I bring up the American Revolution means the left will attack me as some kind of militia type. I don't care. It's not what I am. This is what I do. Perspective. They want to talk about Marx. I want to talk about our history. The Stamp Act, March 1765. Does anybody know what happened? As our friends at History.com point out, among others, to recoup some of the massive debt left after the war was over with France, Parliament passed laws such as the Stamp Act, which for the first time taxed a wide range of transactions in the colonies. Up until then, the colony had its own government, which decided which taxes they would have and collected them. They felt they'd spent a lot of blood and treasure to protect the colonists, however, from the Indians, the British did, and so they should pay their fair share. The colonists didn't see it that way. They resented not only having to buy goods from the British, but pay taxes on them as well. The tax never got collected because there were riots all over the place. Ultimately, Benjamin Franklin convinced the British to rescind it. But that only made things worse. That made the Americans think they could push back against anything the British wanted. 2 years later, we had what's called the Townshend Acts. Parliament again tried to assert its authority by passing legislation to tax goods that the Americans imported from Great Britain. The Crown established a board of custom commissioners to stop smuggling and corruption among local officials in the colonies who were often in the illicit trade. Americans struck back by organizing a boycott of the British goods that were subject to taxation and began harassing the British customs commissioners. In an effort to quell the resistance, the British sent troops to occupy Boston, which only deepened the ill feeling. 3 years after that, March 1770, the Boston Massacre. Simmering tensions between the British occupiers and Boston residents boiled over one late afternoon when a disagreement between an apprentice wig maker and a British soldier led to a crowd of 200 colonists surrounding 7 British soldiers. When the Americans began taunting the British and throwing things at them, the soldiers apparently lost their cool and began firing into the crowd. And as the smoke cleared, 3 men, including an African-American sailor named Crispus Attucks, were dead, and 2 others were mortally wounded. The massacre became a useful propaganda tool for the colonists, they write, especially after Paul Revere distributed an engraving that misleadingly depicted the British as the aggressors. I don't believe this for 2 seconds, but let's continue. The Boston Tea Party, 1773. The British eventually withdrew their forces from Boston and repelled much to the onerous Townsend legislation, but they left in place the tax on tea. In 1773, enacted a new law, the Tea Act, to prop up the financially struggling British East India Company. The act gave the company extended favorable treatment under tax regulations. Didn't sit well with Americans. They didn't want the British telling them that they had to buy their tea, but it wasn't just about that. The Americans wanted to be able to trade with any country they wanted. The Sons of Liberty, led by, among others, Samuel Adams, decided to confront the British head-on. Thinly disguised as Mohawks, they boarded three ships in Boston Harbor and destroyed more than 92,000 pounds of British tea. They dumped it in the harbor. Today, they'd be penalized by the Environmental Protection Agency. To make the point they were rebels rather than vandals, they avoided harming any of the crew or damaging the ships themselves, and the next day even replaced a padlock that had been broken. Nevertheless, the act of defiance really ticked off the British government. And many of the East Indian Company shareholders were members of Parliament. They each had paid £1,000 sterling for a share of the company. So when these bottom-of-the-rung people, so-called, in Boston destroyed their tea, there was a serious thing. This was a very serious thing for them. The Coercive Acts, 1774. In response to the Boston Tea Party, the British government decided it to tame the rebellious colonists in Massachusetts. In the spring of 1774, Parliament passed a series of laws, the Coercive Acts, which closed Boston Harbor until restitution was paid for the destroyed tea, replaced the colony's elected council with one appointed by the British, gave sweeping powers to the British military governor, General Thomas Gage, and forbade town meetings without approval. Gee, that sounds like our current governors. Well, Mark, we have the right to vote. Doesn't seem to matter. The right to vote is not a right for those we vote for to conduct themselves in tyrannical ways. Then you have 1775, Lexington and Concord. And then you have a 1776, the British attacks on coastal towns. And then, of course, you have Philadelphia, the Second Continental Congress, and the Declaration of Independence. Today, we have governors and mayors telling us there will not be Thanksgiving. Or you will not meet in your own homes in a group of more than 10. Or you will not go to church. Or the Jews in Brooklyn, you shall not meet for funerals or holidays. And then we have so-called experts in Washington, D.C., like Dr. Fauci, who think this is just swell. We have a media in this country that is supposed to defend our civil liberties, which is joined in with the tyrants. The most aggressive governors are the ones that are applauded the most by the Washington bureaucrats and the media. We've come a long way. A long way. Now, when we say resist, when I say resist, I don't mean violence, like the left does. I don't mean looting and burning and arson. I don't mean shooting people and stabbing people. What I mean is if millions of us choose to celebrate Thanksgiving, and millions of us choose to celebrate Christmas, and millions of us choose to meet in church and synagogues and mosques and so forth, not a damn thing they can do about it. We've met all their demands with masks, shutting schools, 6 feet apart, washing hands, sanitizers. Vast majority of us have changed our lifestyles, changed our social circles, changed how we interact with our families. And the virus is back with a vengeance, they tell us. The scientists are wrong. The media are wrong. The fascistic governors are wrong. It's the therapeutics and the vaccines that will save lives, not their surface level and superficial demands and threats against law-abiding American citizens. And it was Donald Trump who said, open the schools, open the economy, put in place warp speed to get us therapeutics and to get us vaccines. Because he understood that we could not destroy our liberty, we could not destroy our First Amendment and our constitutional rights and our civil liberties. We could not and must not while fighting this virus. And the way to fight this virus is with true science. True science. Therapeutics and vaccines. And so he gave seed money to most of these pharmaceutical companies, billions of dollars, so they would move more quickly. Cut the FDA and the Fauci red tape that was in the way. Not the safety and scientific standards, but the usual bureaucracy, and it exists everywhere, whether it's the Department of Agriculture, Department of Energy, or the FDA. And his actions, among other things, have resulted in the therapeutics and soon to be vaccines that will take place. And then what will be the excuse of the governors? They're not going to stop. As a matter of fact, God forbid if Joe Biden's president of the United States, he's got some ideas too. When we come back, I'll go through them. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. LevinForHillsdale.com.
Two of the greatest lawyers in the country. One of them will be on in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. Lynn Wood has brought a major lawsuit in Georgia. And then in the second hour, Rudy Giuliani, who's brought a major lawsuit in Pennsylvania. Yesterday, we had Sidney Powell, tremendous lawyer as well, who's looking at this whole Dominion voter system. Now, back to what I was talking about. I only have a short period here. I posted today, if there was ever any doubt, dim-witted Biden is a sellout. He has an intention to immediately sell out America by joining the Paris Peace Accords. Again, remember what I said about our founding. Impose $15 an hour minimum wage. Impose unionism throughout the country and workers who don't want it, wipe out student debt, free college, rejoin the Iran deal, pay millions to the Palestinian terrorists, open the floodgate to illegal immigration. He's already initiating all this. Massive increases in taxes, killer regulations, reimpose critical race theory training throughout the federal government, ignore Antifa and BLM violence, force taxpayers to pay for infanticide. He's prepared to lock down the country, eviscerate civil liberties, targets. He's put his targets on the suburbs, on private health care, on non-government schools, on undermining the judiciary, and the list goes on and on. Joe Biden is a tyrant.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. LevinForHillsdale.com.
Mark Levin, radio's principled patriot.
Call in now at 877-381-3811.
Speaking of principal patriots, Lynn Wood does not like injustice, and he's willing to spend time to root out those who promote it. And he's one of the great lawyers in this country. Lynn Wood, how are you, my friend?
Mark, I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, you know, we've all been better here watching this tyranny spread. Lynn Wood, you brought a lawsuit in Georgia, and rather than have the media filled, frankly, with a bunch of numbskulls, just put it down. I would like you to explain what you're doing in Georgia, because I think it's crucially important.
Thank you, Mark. I filed a lawsuit on my behalf as an elector, which means I voted in Georgia in person. My lawsuit is based on a consent agreement reached in March of 2020 by the Secretary of State with the Democratic Party in a lawsuit represented by Perkins Coie, also known as the Hillary Clinton firm, where they changed by consent agreement the rules relating to absentee ballots for the November general election. You can't do that. Any change in the rules with respect to a federal election and a state election has to be made as a matter of law by the legislature in Georgia. The legislature didn't do it. The election in Georgia on November the 3rd was unlawful. It also violated equal protection because there were less stringent confirmation rules for paper ballots versus the individuals like me who voted in person. It also violated due process. So we filed the lawsuit last week. We amended it yesterday to add the due process claim because the due process claim goes to the sham recount that's underway in Georgia right now. Later this evening, I'm going to be filing a motion for a temporary restraining order asking for an emergency hearing to stop this recount, not to certify the vote, because they are doing nothing more, Mark, than recounting the illegal votes. They're not doing one thing to determine valid versus invalid. The Secretary of State goes on TV and says that he is. The Secretary of State of Georgia is a liar. I don't make those types of accusations lightly. But I will tell you that our Secretary of State and our Governor Brian Kemp are dirty. They're corrupted by Chinese money. I know it based on evidence I've seen. Georgia's got a clean house. We've got to change our government. But first, we've got to have a special session of the Georgia legislature called so that they can elect the electors to vote for Donald Trump, who, by the way, won a landslide victory in Georgia, as he did across the nation. Then they're going to have a new election on all the down ballots in January, because the whole process was infected by the illegal absentee ballot procedure, and it was also infected with I'll call it a computer virus. The computer voting system in Georgia, Dominion, contained software that was manipulated where they control the voting, which in a network of corporations around the globe. This election was a fraud. Donald Trump won, I believe, clearly a 70% plus landslide election in the nation. He probably won over 400 electoral votes. So we're uncovering step by step the layers on the onion, and we're going to get to the truth. And the truth is Donald Trump has been reelected by this country to serve as president for four more years. The truth will come out.
You know, Lynn Wood, there was a time when PBS, back in October 26, not that long ago, a few weeks ago, the New York Times, NBC, they all did stories on this Dominion voter system, how it could be easily hacked. They did a story in September how they slapped on some kind of change to it quickly. A lot of it was focused in Georgia. This Secretary of State, you make such an important point here. He doesn't have the power to cut a deal with the Democrats to change state election law. A judge doesn't have the power. A Secretary of State doesn't have the power. The governor doesn't have the power. Nobody has the power. Yet he does it in a consent decree. with the Democrat Party? That is an abomination.
He did it in the dark of night. I talked to many legislators in Georgia. They didn't know it was even done. I'll tell you, Mark, when you look at what's happened in Georgia, and then you start connecting the dots around the nation, and you look at this Dominion computer system, voting system, the citizens of the state of Georgia cast their votes, and then their votes went around the globe where they were manipulated by software. This was not the first time that it was done. They did it, I've heard, clearly, in 2012. O'Biden and Obama did it in Florida. Hillary Clinton used it in 2016, but her algorithm came up short. Donald Trump won by so many votes. They used it in 2018 in the midterm elections to win the House. This year, they added in the safeguard where if the computer algorithm, which can shift the votes 3%, did not provide enough votes, they started bringing in the special ballots, the mail-in ballots. Donald Trump won by such a large margin that in the middle of the night they had to stop counting, and you'll see in key states they started bringing in ballots by the truckload. All of them for Biden, many of them in these mail-in ballots with little bubbles for you to circle the person you selected, all of them for Biden with perfect circles. I believe upon examination, you're going to find those perfect circles were made by a computer. This election was stolen, but they got caught.
You know, Linwood, people need to know that this company, this it's a Canadian company, but it's really, you're right, it's many national nations involved, that it originally had ties.
It actually started.
I was just going to say, go ahead.
It started in Venezuela. Yeah, yep. I'm sorry. It actually started in Venezuela. Chavez used it to win elections. Mm-hmm. They used the mechanism to sell to individuals or entities elections in other countries, Argentina, China. The ownership changed to Canada at some point. But the key is that this particular software is not only in Dominion voting systems. It infected and was used in many different voting systems. Check on the name SGO Smartmatic. Then they go, they take that software to manipulate the votes in servers, Amazon servers in Barcelona and Frankfurt, owned by a company called Cytel. Then they manipulate the votes and report it out real time through a company called Clarity. And that's why people observed that this time they could see the votes actually being switched, where the Republican votes would go down, say, 1,000, and the Democratic vote would go up 1,000. This was a fraud, and they got caught. The American public is not stupid.
Your answer to people like Karl Rove, who was on TV last night, and he said the vote numbers in these major cities and these major battleground areas really were similar to what they were with Hillary Clinton. And your answer is, well, they were less this time around. They shouldn't have been similar to what Hillary Clinton got. Isn't that your point?
That's one of many points. Listen, yeah. I have to tell you that what I've learned over the past 2 weeks, I wouldn't trust a lot of Democrats, but I wouldn't trust a lot of Republicans. You look at the Republicans that are not fighting for the American people to have their vote counted and to have the president that they voted for elected, and I'm very suspicious of them. I've seen them on TV, and the ones that are sitting around saying this was done right, they're going to all be called out in due time because they are trying to defeat President Trump, even within his own party.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in federal court, I take it, or no?
I'm in federal court in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Northern District. Mm-hmm. Whatever the trial court rules will be subject to an appeal to the 11th Circuit. We got a good set of judges on the 11th Circuit. And then, obviously, it's subject to being appealed to the United States Supreme Court. But the law is clear. It's the same law that Justice Alito relied on in his earlier order in Pennsylvania. It's the same law that was relied on a couple of days ago when a state court judge ruled that the governor of California could not change the rules in California. It had to be done by the legislature.
Isn't it amazing these forces that actually pose representative government? You know, on the one hand, the left wants to get rid of the Electoral College. They talk about, oh, the national popular vote. The Washington Post had an editorial on that. And then they want judges, and as long as they agree with the result, and secretaries of state and governors to usurp the legislative power that's in Article 2 of the Constitution. They just believe in the ends justify the means, don't they?
Let me be straightforward and let's call it what it is. They want to overthrow the Constitution of our country. This is nothing more than a revolution, attempt to overthrow our government, a coup, in the disguise of an election. Turned out to be a fraudulent election by design. I think there are entities behind this that are globalist, like George Soros. I think there's an element of the military-industrial complex, but I'll tell you, the driving force, Mark, it's communist China. They have infiltrated our government at state, local, and national level. Some people card-carrying communists. A number of people have been corrupted by Chinese money, and even subjected, I believe, to extortion. The American people need to wake up, and I think they are. We, the people, are not going to let somebody come in here and take over our government and take away our freedoms. The American public will fight back, and we will win. Just takes time.
Now, the Democrat Party, I mean, we got this big race in Georgia, two of them, and I guess this is one of the reasons you're also bringing this case. I'm very concerned that we get this system fixed ASAP. The Democrat Party has openly said they want to destroy the Constitution. They want to destroy the judiciary and the Supreme Court. They want to destroy the Senate and pack it. They want to destroy the filibuster rule. They even want to destroy the Electoral College. So many Republicans in rural areas or less populated states lose the franchise effectively. They're not represented. The Washington Post, again, as I say, 2 days ago, was pushing this. These people really aren't kidding. So when people hear you, Lynn Wood, talking about what you feel is taking place here, they really need to pay attention. Anyway,
they need to pay attention because I'm right. Mm-hmm. We have in this country right now a large group of people who have tried to influence the masses. The propaganda tool has been the mainstream media and the social media. I call them the socialistic media. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not even that partisan. I voted for Democrats for president and Republicans for president. But you're right about what you said about me in the beginning of your show, Mark. I do not like injustice. I love truth. And truth is going to prevail in this country. This country was founded under God. It was meant to be free. Our Constitution was based on the laws of God in the Bible. And it's not a matter of trying to preach to people. It's a matter of trying to tell people to wake up, realize what this country was founded for and the principles that we stand for, and be principled people, not preferential people who go with whatever you prefer. Go with principles. The fundamental principle that I apply in my practice of law is I apply the principle of truth. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. America is going to learn the truth soon that Donald Trump won an overwhelming landslide, probably historic victory. That's what everybody in the country felt. That's what the voters have felt. That's why you got 96-mile caravans in Arizona. That's why you've had millions go to rallies. The people in this country are not going to be denied their right to vote, and they're never going to be denied their freedom.
Lynn Wood, we really appreciate what you're doing here. We'll keep close track of it, and just know there are millions of us who want you to succeed. And God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, Mark. Thank you very much.
All right, and we'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K through 12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, LevinForHillsdale.com.
See, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, you have to remember the Florida Supreme Court is a rogue court. It's seven justices, five of whom are left-wing Democrats, and they're elected. And so they come out of this radical, they're not just liberals, radical mindset. And so there's a headline, NBC News, Pennsylvania court rejects Trump claim on ballot observers. So they say the ruling's likely to undercut the Trump campaign's case in federal court. Why? One's state court, one's federal court. Your widespread rejection of election observers. Ladies, how are we supposed to run elections if the courts in the state say you don't have to have observers or you don't have to have postal marks, so you don't have to have signatures, or the signatures don't have to match? How the hell are we ever going to run a fair election? And the courts are in on this. The courts are literally in on this. It's absolutely shocking what's taking place here. At 7:20, we'll have Rudy Giuliani on. He just argued a case in federal court in Pennsylvania. It literally finished about 30, 40 minutes ago. It went on for a significant period of time. And so you've heard from Lynn Wood and his Georgia case, which raised serious constitutional issues, equal protection clause, due process clause, and Article 2. Well, how many ballots is that? We have no idea. The point is to raise these constitutional issues and see if these courts are going to embrace their oath or not. There is a huge disconnect between what the left is doing and what so many Republicans and pseudo-conservatives are doing on and off TV. The left has a paramilitary wing, Black Lives Matter and Antifa. The media make excuses for both, and in the case of Black Lives Matter, because of their nomenclature, they're supported by professional athletes, by professional sports, by massive corporations. They're promoted in our schools and universities. It's shocking. And they're in our streets, pummeling people, burning things, and attacking the cops. And then they have wolf packs. So an older man or an interracial couple with a baby carriage and a baby and a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old, they go down an alley to get to their car, get to the hotel. They are literally attacked. Meanwhile, we're told, give it up, Republicans, give it up, and told by Republicans, give what up? We're not hitting anybody. We're not. No, you see, we're the ones undermining democracy. We're the ones undermining tradition.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Well, they found another 2,700 uncounted ballots in Georgia. So that's now over 5,000 ballots in Georgia. Now, the media didn't find them. The media wasn't interested. In Georgia, it's one of those very close ones, isn't it, Mr. Producer? Now, the first batch that they happened to find, Trump won those ballots 2-1. So last night they found 2,600. Just now they found 2,700. That's 5,300 ballots. And Milwaukee, listen to this, Wisconsin, rather, is telling the President of the United States, you want to recount here, you got to give us $8 million. You give us $8 million. And the vote in Wisconsin, I think, was the closest in the whole country. 11 or 12,000, as I recall. So now they have to try and come up with $8 million. It's a shakedown. So now in 24 hours, they have found 5,300 uncounted ballots in Georgia. And they're not even auditing this system. They're not even double-checking signatures or anything of that sort. You heard Lynn Wood, and he's exactly right. In many ways, this is superficial and bogus. But even so, all of a sudden, they're finding these ballots. But don't worry, there's no fraud. And then the answer is going to be, well, is it going to change the election? Is it going to? It damn well could. Georgia's very close. Wisconsin's very close. Now you have a corrupt Supreme Court in Pennsylvania that changed the rules. And all you see are these headlines with AP and AOL that Trump lost in court. This is all you're going to hear because the news people are truly stupid human beings. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court said about observers, state law require, all that state law requires is that observers must be allowed, quote unquote, in the room where ballots are counted. The law does not set a minimum distance between them and counting tables. Do you believe that, Mr. Producer? You can be in the room, but the law doesn't say you actually have to observe anything. Well, what the hell do they think the reason for the law is to be in the room? This is obviously corrupt. This same Supreme Court that rewrote the state laws at the behest of the Democrat governor, 5-2 left-wing Democrats on this rogue court. I hope the Supreme Court justices are listening to this insanity. Sure, the state law says observers must be allowed, quote, in the room, unquote. This Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, the law does not set a minimum of distance between them and the counting tables. It was left up to the county election boards to make those decisions. And in the case of Philadelphia, they said the local board fashioned these rules based on its careful consideration of how it could best protect the security and privacy of voters' ballots. Privacy of voters' ballots! As well as safeguard its employees and others who would be present during a pandemic. Is the United States Supreme Court going to allow this to happen? Because if they do, they're going to destroy the electoral process. They're going to destroy the Constitution. And they're going to destroy themselves. Because Georgia's going to elect two whack job radicals who are going to destroy the Supreme Court. That's what's taking place here. The court's vote was 5-2. The five rogue radical Democrats against the two Republicans. 5-2. Just like that damn Florida Supreme Court. Shocking, this Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And shocking in the headline at NBC News. PA court rejects Trump's claim on ballot observers. That's not the headline. The PA court makes a mockery of election observations. That should be the headline. You understand, Donald Trump, the Donald Trump campaign, and these volunteer lawyers are patriots. They say, wait a minute. You have observers. They got to be able to observe. And the court says, no, they don't. As long as they're in the room. You can be 100 feet away. It's up to the crooks in Philadelphia how close they can be. That's your court, Supreme Court. Why do they think the legislature said there should be observers? So they could stand 60 yards away and see nothing? This is absolutely disgusting. Disgusting what these Democrats are doing. And their damn media. When's Trump going to give it up? What do you say about this, Rubio? What do you say about this, Asa Hutchinson? Go ahead and tweet something out. Such disgusting opinions by these elected Democrats on these courts. And then in Wisconsin, yeah, you can have a recount. We need $7.9 million. What? Rich, go Google and find out what the difference was between Trump and Biden in that state, would you please? And then in Georgia, last night they found 2,600 ballots. 2-1 for Trump. Tonight, 5 minutes ago, they found 2,700 ballots. We've got this crucially important race. Two senators will be chosen in Georgia. And they're finding ballots on the presidential race. And the idiot governor's a Republican. And the idiot secretary of state, you heard Lynn Wood, he enters into a consent decree with the Democrats in violation of the federal constitution. And they won't do the kind of review in Georgia that you need to check the signatures and the signature matches. Because in Georgia, you do need signatures, unlike Pennsylvania. This is why I lose my temper. This is why I raise my voice. How the hell can you not? Unbelievable. And they all go one way. Look at this. We found ballots. Who do they help? Trump. Look at this. The machine accidentally, this Dominion voter machine, accidentally threw 6,000 votes to who? Biden. But those are Trump's votes. You're right. Let's give them back. It never goes the other way. And then look at this reprobate running for the Senate in Georgia and the idea that this guy might be a United States senator. He hates this country. He hates white people. He hates the military. He hates Jews. He has said horrendous things as a minister. He's akin to Jeremiah Wright, his buddy. And Joe Biden's going to campaign for him. Shocking. Disgusting. Quote, nobody can serve God in the military, unquote. That's what he said. Nobody can serve God and the military. This guy is filled with quotations like this. So if you're in the military and you're a person of faith, I happen to know a lot of people in the military who are people of faith. Who the hell does this POS think he is? Who the hell does this POS think he is? Unbelievable. The things this man has said. And the other guy running, he inherited millions and millions of dollars, and he's a Marxist. The other Democrat running. He's a Marxist. Georgia. What's happening is a number of things with the demographic changes. In the West and part of the Southwest, what's happening is you have Democrats who are leaving California en masse, moving into states like Arizona. 30% of the immigrants, the citizen immigrants into Arizona over the last 10 years are from California. 30%, I should say, most of whom are Democrats. And they're moving there because they don't want to pay the taxes and they want cheaper homes. So they go to Arizona, they vote Democrat. Same thing happened to Virginia. People moved out of D.C. and Maryland. They liked the environment in Virginia, and then they vote Democrat. Same thing happening in Georgia. So what's happening is the mobility of the Democrats moving from these high population states into states with much lower populations, they're swinging the votes. You see the same thing happening in Texas. Californians moving into Texas. And God forbid it may happen in Florida.
with people from New York and New Jersey moving into Florida. I'm not talking about people who love this show or listen to this show. You know who I'm talking about. The leftists. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
I don't know where Rudy is, ladies and gentlemen. We had a time set. Maybe he's busy. I don't know. I don't have any idea. When he calls in, eventually we'll bring him on. But I want to talk about what just took place in the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. Just to show you how much crap we're having to put up with. And the media just see, you know, just another loss, you see, for the Trump team. We have a court 5-2, two Republicans, five Democrats, and the vote was 5-2. That with a, not literal straight face, but with a straight face, said, all the law says is, okay, I'm getting an update. Rudy just got out of court. He has a 740 plane, so he won't be on. They apologize immensely. Okay, we get it. So we'll follow up with that at another time. All right. Anyway, so the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, yeah, well, state law requires that there's observers in the room where ballots are counted. But that doesn't mean there's a minimum distance between them and the counting tables. State law doesn't say that. What? Now, you and I both know that the reason for that law is so observers can observe. Otherwise, they're not called observers. The same court that destroyed Article 2 of the Constitution. And John Roberts, the Chief Justice, sat there on his butt and had no problem with it, with some phony federalism argue. We could use a William Rehnquist running that court, but unfortunately we're left with a John Roberts. I call him Hollywood John because of his left-wing friends and because of the social circles. Everyone knows because of the Kennedy Center, because he doesn't want to be viewed as a right-winger. We're not asking him to be a right-winger. We're asking him to be a constitutionalist and do his damn job. It is unbelievable what this Supreme Court has done to the election process in Pennsylvania, which is the number one battleground state. And everybody knew it. They can't have a fair election. They can't have equality among voters. They can't have a simple way to count stuff. No, no, no. They have to create all this chaos. And so on TV, the idiots can all say, how are you going to turn this around? I don't see your way out of this. And how many ballots are we talking about? There's only 10,000 or so. I don't think it. You have literally anarchy here that was put in place by the Democrats, their court, their governor, their secretary of state. And they want the president to surrender. If we had a real media in this country, and I'm talking to all of them, every damn one of them, they'd have the reporters in the field tracking down some of this stuff rather than sitting back like they're watching TV, like they're on cable, not on the station, but watching it. And then they give us their 2 cents worth like we need it. Like some of these clowns at National Review, some of these clowns, I really don't think this is really quite a mess here. I don't know. Gives a crap what you have to say. Go in the field and find out what the hell's taking place.
I talk to these people every damn day. And look at the arguments they're making. These are extremely important arguments, constitutional arguments, statutory arguments, the fraud. There's tons of fraud. Well, you got one case. You got to pull the threads. I listen to these former federal prosecutors. How the hell did they prosecute anybody? Somebody walk up and say, here, I got the goods on him. His DNA, his fingerprints, photos, firsthand witnesses, and blood samples. There it is. That's not the way it works. Unbelievable. And the media have told us where they stand. The Washington Post the other day said, scrap the Electoral College. How many of these editorial pages with these newspapers have said, leave the Supreme Court alone, leave the filibuster rule alone, leave the Senate alone, leave the Electoral College alone? You got your playing field, play on the playing field, not in the bleachers. They don't care. But now you and I, we're undermining democracy. We got to listen to this idiot Obama who gets elected after 2 years in the Senate, whose entire history is as a radical activist. Now he and his wife are worth $250 million a year. He was president of the United States, and the country's racist. If you oppose him, you're racist. And I hear this bull crap. And he did almost nothing for the black community. That's the amazing thing. Oh, he's a historic figure. For one reason and one reason only. What did he do that was historic? Nothing. Nothing. He's a guy who milks his connections in capitalism for everything it's worth. And then trashes the system while he lives in luxury like almost nobody else in this country. It must be a great gig to preach Marxism and benefit from capitalism. That's Obama and Michelle right there. Incredible. And Biden. Biden has been a leech his entire life. On the public payroll, man's a multi-millionaire, has 4 or 5 estates. That dopey son of his is very wealthy. We all know what's going on there. The media doesn't even want to report it. And we're supposed to unite behind these reprobates, these crooks. That ain't happening. I hear there's Chinese collusion, Mr. Producer. Oh, yeah. I hear there's Chinese collusion that helped Biden. We need investigations. We need a criminal investigation. We need a special counsel. You know why that'll never happen? We have jerks like Adam Kinzig, who's an idiot. And then we have the Bush guys commenting on TV. You know, I have my whiteboard here. Just doesn't matter. You know, what? What are you talking about? Rambling on. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I shall return.
The cost of freedom is high, but this phone call is not. Call Mark Levin toll-free at 877-381-3811.
You have every reason to be furious and frustrated, ladies and gentlemen. Every reason in the world. Every reason in the world. You see what goes on in the streets. You have massive rally for the president. And then the Democrat paramilitary wolf packs come out. Turns out many of them are ex-criminals, pedophiles, and so forth. Operating under the Black Lives Matter flag, beating people. You see this in old pictures of the Third Reich and Nazis. You see this in communist China, Tiananmen Square. You see this in Iran when people are rising up to speak, how they put them down. The only thing missing here is they're not rounding us up yet. Although, they talk about lists, enemies lists, and the media are pushing enemies lists to prevent people from getting work if they dared to work in the Trump administration. Jake Tapper came pretty close to that line. This guy's a phony journalist. This is why I wrote the book on freedom of the press a year and a half ago, and it's explained. These are dangerous people. They have destroyed freedom of the press. Just as the left has destroyed our colleges and universities and so many of our government schools, they're destroying our constitutional system, they're destroying our capitalist system, and to what end? Racial equality? They're not promoting racial equality. To what end? A cleaner environment? They're not pushing a cleaner environment. This is all intended to take out the society. The grandest society mankind has ever established. Ever. Unbelievable. You know, in preparation for this show, I go down a lot of tributaries. I read an enormous amount of stuff. I go back and I look, and I went back and I looked at all the media coverage of the panic. Should the federal government shut down? When the federal government never shuts down. 19% of the government shuts down when they have a shutdown. Remember that, Mr. Producer? Who told me that? Speaker Ryan told me that on the air. He said, no entitlement program shuts down. Food stamp program doesn't shut down. The Medicare doesn't shut down. Medicaid doesn't shut down. The money keeps going out for these things. So they'll shut down parks, you know, things that you can see in front of your face and so forth. And then they'll tell you, well, the employees are working without pay, knowing full well they're all going to get paid. Meanwhile, they'll shut down the private economy in 2 seconds. And people are not going to get reimbursed for their pay. They're not going to get their businesses back. They're not going to get their jobs back. Well, we'll retrain them like good communists. They never retrain anybody. I'm just saying this is quite appalling where we are right now. You can't peaceably assemble without worrying about being attacked. After the Republican convention at the White House, when we left there, the police were afraid we were going to be attacked. And of course, you heard from Bongino. You saw what happened to Senator Paul and others. They were assaulted. And the media didn't seem all that upset about it. You have hundreds of thousands of people. So they break off. The night's coming. Sun's down. And they attack. President of the United States, he cleared away Lafayette Park because Secret Service were under attack. You had tens of thousands of people threatening the White House. Oh, look at this. He cleaned out Lafayette Park so he could do a political... It wasn't a political statement. He walked over there with a Bible because they burned down part of the damn church. That's why Trump walked over there with the Bible and said, we took the church back. That's what he was saying. They don't care. I am very, very concerned that we're reaching a point in this country because of the conduct of the left, destroying the Constitution, destroying the electoral system, destroying Supreme Courts all over this country, maybe even the U.S. Supreme Court, destroying the media, destroying all the fundamentals of a civil society. I'm very, very concerned about what the left is doing in this country. And because people react, it doesn't mean they're white supremacists. They're attacking black people, interracial people, Hispanic people. They're attacking women and children. They're attacking. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Pennsylvania Supreme Court. All the state law requires is that observers must be allowed, quote, in the room where ballots are counted. The law doesn't set a minimum distance between them and the counting tables. Have you ever heard anything so dishonest in your life? They're called observers. They can't observe. All the law. Now, they say that's all the law requires. These are the same five left-wing. All right, settle down, Mark. Left-wing slobs on the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania who changed the voting laws. They didn't care what the state legislature said. No signatures, no matching signatures, no postal dates, 3 extra days, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute, you violate. No problem. The law says observers need to be in the room, but they didn't say exactly how far they're supposed to be. 3 feet, 6 inches, 5 feet. That's not in the statute. So as long as they're in the room, who cares? We'll leave it up to the Philadelphia Board of Elections. Oh, perfect. We'll leave it up to the Pittsburgh Board of Elections. Oh, perfect. I wonder how that turned out. And they dismissed the case. And what's the NBC AP AOL report? Pennsylvania court dismisses another Trump campaign lawsuit. Wait a minute. What was it about? And what did the court say? It's just another one because they want you to believe it's fraudulent. That they're bringing frivolous suits when they're not. They're bringing solid, serious cases. Because if the court had said yes, they were supposed to allow observers in there. That have to be some kind of remedy. They don't want a remedy. I hope all the former federal prosecutors on TV and their ilk are paying attention. Because the remedy there would either require a new election or the throwing out of those ballots or something like that. They'd have to come up with a remedy of some kind or another. It's just easier to say, well, look, it says they can be observers in the room. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't say how far they should be. That's left up to the county board. Oh, I see. So corrupt, it's beyond belief. Where am I, Rich? All right. If you're setting financial goals for the rest of this year, do not forget to add a mortgage refinance to your list. With rates still near historic lows, a refinance can help you save on monthly payments, which can in turn boost your savings account. This is a very smart move to make right now because we're still in this pandemic. There are still unknowns. We really need to do everything we can to set ourselves up for financial success. So please make today the day you call American Financing. A mortgage consultant will discuss custom loan options that may save you up to $1,000 a month without starting your term over. Because you shouldn't pay interest on years you don't need. And you know what else? You don't charge upfront fees like some of the other lenders do. They certainly don't. It's a wonderful family-owned company, as you know. My daughter and son-in-law, as well as Mr. Producer Rich, has worked with them and have been extremely happy with them. It's not a matter of matching everybody else's program and so forth. They can match anybody's program. What it is they treat you like a human being. They treat you like an adult. They want to elicit information from you. I'm not talking about technical information. What it is that you want to do, what it is that you want to accomplish, and they try and customize a loan for you through the mortgage process. It's really quite brilliant, and the mortgage rates are extraordinarily low right now. So they only want what's best for you. Find out for yourself by calling 888-900-1828, 888-900-1828, 888-900-1828, or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
All right, we'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Less than 14,000 votes, according to Georgia, separates Trump from Biden. They found 5,300 ballots. Does that bother anybody? And it wouldn't take a lot of fraud, would it, to change from Biden to Trump? Now, would it? The governor and the secretary of state of Georgia seem to be sabotaging the president and his campaign. The secretary of state, as you heard from Lynn Wood,
entered into some consent decree with the Democrats, with this punk Mark Elias, to make it easier for them to win and harder for Trump to challenge. They're going through a recount, and they found these 5,300 ballots, 2,600 last night, 2,700 about 40 minutes ago. Now, this isn't the same as a thorough audit where they're actually tracking signatures, which is what the Trump campaign has asked for. The Secretary of State has said no. The governor, nobody knows where he is. Maybe he's at McDonald's, sitting eating a Big Mac somewhere for the next 8 or 10 days. I don't know. But less than 14,000 votes there. And they find 5,300. In Wisconsin, it's around 20,000 votes out of millions and millions cast. Wisconsin says, sure, you can have a recount. It's going to cost you $8 million. What? Yeah, $8 million. That's all. What's the problem? And you look at Pennsylvania. The Democrats have the Supreme Court in their back pocket. They destroyed the voting system. You got various violations of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States. The court just ruled about an hour ago that observer doesn't mean observer. If they're in the room, that's good enough. We'll leave it to the corrupt Philadelphia Democrat machine and the corrupt Pittsburgh Democrat machine to decide how close these people can be. And they add in there, given the pandemic and all that. You imagine that? This is also what they use to steal your civil liberties. Oh, the pandemic, of course. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas. If you do have Thanksgiving, there's more than 10. We're going to drag your ass out of your house, and we're going to arrest you. Oh, and by the way, you Jews, particularly in Brooklyn, you know, real Jews, not grape juice and sugar cookie Jews. Oh, yeah, you Jews that actually practice your faith in Brooklyn. If you actually practice your faith in Brooklyn, we're going to round you up. And you Christians who actually practice your faith, you're not to go into your church. You do what we tell you to do. It's that simple. Meanwhile, these a-holes are out having parties. They're in Maui. They're at these fancy restaurants. God knows what they're doing. Never being treated like servants. We've gone from citizens to servants. That's what you are right now, a servant. And I'm sick and tired of this punk. But hold on, Mark. This science expert, Dr. Fauci, even if you're vaccinated, he still wants you to socially distance, wear a mask, and all the other conditions on society. So we can never get out of this. We can never get out of it. And he's been a disaster, a complete, utter disaster. As I said, today's Tuesday, said it Monday, said it Thursday, said it Friday. With the spike in the coronavirus, how can there be a spike as big as the first one when we're all wearing masks? When we're all social well, you know, some of you aren't. Oh, I see. The some of you would be the Democrats burning down our cities. He'll never say that. You know, Thanksgiving's a couple weeks away, ladies and gentlemen. Still enough time to get rid of the bags and puffiness under your eyes and get compliments around the dinner table. And every order until Thanksgiving includes Chamonix's brand new Zotique Deep Correcting Serum, absolutely free. The new Zotique Deep Correcting Serum from Chamonix means skin that is smooth as silk, free from redness, acne, and acne scars, and faster collagen production. Zotique's increased firmness, smoothness, diminishes adult acne, redness, and stress breakouts. You can actually say goodbye to crow's feet and laugh lines, too. With its immediate effects, see results in 12 hours or less. Everyone will see the difference, guaranteed, or 100% of your money back, so there's no risk. That's the Chamonix promise. Call 800-SKIN-604, 800-SKIN-604, or go to genucel.com. That's GENUCEL.com. And from now on until Thanksgiving, get the Genucel Eyelid Lift and Crystals at Home Microdermabrasion Treatment. Spa-level comfort in your own home, and shipping is also free. Order now, 800-SKIN-604, 800-SKIN-604. Or go to genucel.com. That's G-E-N-U-C-E-L.com. Mr. Producer, I don't have my call screen up. Do we have a good caller there ready to talk? And if... On the Mark Levin app, Tom in Ohio. How are you, sir?
Hi, Mark. Love your show. I am in Northeast Ohio, up near Lake Erie. But I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, Oxford Circle. I'm 65 years old.
Well, I know where it is. I grew up in Cheltenham.
This is driving a stunt.
Yep.
And I know where that is. So, yep. And I just wanted to focus actually on the mailings. There were supposedly 80 to, I hear numbers of 100 million mailings nationwide.
No. Slow down. So we get the facts straight. There were 100 million early votes. Some in person, some mailing, some absentee ballots, but a tremendous number of mail-in votes. You're correct. Maybe around 80 million or so.
Okay.
Hello?
So having said that, I remember, yeah, I'm here, Mark. I remember the AG in Pennsylvania, I believe it was November 2nd, the day before Election Day, came out and said that by Friday, when all the votes are counted, Biden will have been elected president. In Pennsylvania, at least, anyway, he will have won Pennsylvania. And I wondered, well, how can you make a statement like that if Trump won a Pennsylvania in 2016? My thoughts were, if Pennsylvania's mailing out 3 or 4 million, whatever the number is, what was to stop them from holding on to a 500,000 or more and dedicating those to Biden? I just was wondering, can these mailings be audited?
Can they be audited? Yes. Will they be audited? I don't know. That's the problem.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. We'll be taking some calls this hour. Our number is 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. I want to remind you of what Democrats and the media said in 2016 and 2017 after the election and during and before the inauguration. And this is only a minute and a half or so from our friends at Grabian. Cut 8, go.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You do not consider him a legitimate president.
Does he think that Democrats should put this away, this whole idea of legitimate, illegitimate?
The president's not going to get in the middle of this right now.
I get it, but you didn't answer the question. Yeah. Is Donald Trump legitimate?
I think there's a cloud of questions around what happened.
Clouds of questions, and we disagree on things. But honestly, I mean, yes or no, is he the legitimately elected president of the United States when he raises his hand?
We're counting on our law enforcement community to get to the bottom of these questions. He also won't.
Do you agree with John Lewis? Do you agree that Donald Trump is, in effect, not a legitimate president?
I think that there's no question that the process that elected him was not legitimate.
Do you agree with John Lewis on what point?
That the president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate for all the reasons.
Okay.
I believe, Congressman, that Donald Trump will be a legitimate president.
The legitimacy questions come up.
You say he will be president of the United States, but you're at least reluctant to say he will be the legitimate president of the United States. Is that right?
Figuratively, he's going to be president.
But isn't it more difficult now to work together when you've said flatly he's not even a legitimate president?
No,
I don't recognize his legitimacy. John Lewis said that.
John Lewis said that. You believe he's a legitimate president? Well, he was elected
on the fact that Donald Trump can't stand hearing that somehow he's not a legitimate president.
And
that he won fewer votes than Hillary Clinton.
Can't bear to tell him the truth.
And now the delegitimization of the presidency is taking hold within the country.
Do you think it was a legitimate election?
I think that there are lots of questions about its legitimacy.
And it goes on and on and on. Notice how the reporter, is it legitimate? Is it legitimate? Joe Biden gets no questions about anything. And they think we're going to unite? No, we have long damn memories. We're the resistance now. The difference is we're resisting tyranny. They were resisting the Constitution in a constitutional election. After all that litigation over the last several years to destroy various electoral processes in various states, that's why this has gone on and on. Then we have to hear John Podesta. John Podesta has been a sleazeball for virtually his entire life. He's worked for sleazeballs, and he is a sleazeball. And, of course, he's on MSNBC yesterday, where they embrace sleazeballs. In fact, they hire them. They give them jobs as hosts. Cut 10, go.
Well, the most important thing that is not being done is they don't have access to the federal agencies and the resources that they need.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, I'm sorry. So what? So they can destroy the private sector? They don't have access to the agencies fast enough. You know, Obama did this to Trump, by the way. Obama, Biden. So, oh, my goodness. Remember what Clinton did with Bush? Remember the computer keyboards that were had letters missing and everything? Oh, Biden doesn't have access to the department. Then you listen to the stupidity, the hysteria. You know, we could have another 9/11. Why is Bill Clinton president? And then Biden's out there saying, well, there are going to be more dead people because I don't have access to the virus. It has nothing to do with you, you clown. It's president's president. For at least 2 more months, if not 2 months and 4 years. What they would do, ladies and gentlemen, is take that information and say, we had to refine it, we had to fix it, it was a mess and so forth. I look at it this way. Biden and all the grubby you-know-whats that surround him, get out of the way and let the president and his administration that has brought us to this point handle this. Get out of the way. Stop trying to obstruct. Go ahead.
Effective distribution strategy.
Shut up, you idiot. I don't even know why I'm playing your clip. We got all the effective distribution strategy. They didn't even believe in the vaccine 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. Now they want to be part of the distribution strategy. Here's Anderson Cooper. You know, CNN, it's hard to know who the dumbest of the bunch is, but he's definitely up there, or down there. What happened to his great interview? Remember the great interview we had with Stormy Daniels, Mr. Producer? Now, that was a great interview. That's Walter Cronkite stuff. Cut 9, go.
Next week, the CDC starts the process of determining which of us, which Americans, will be the first to get the vaccine.
No, the CDC doesn't start the process next week, genius. The process has already been determined. It's first responders, and it's also individuals who are senior citizens and have comorbidities. That process has been underway since midsummer, idiot. But you see, he wants to set up the scenario where the man who is actually responsible for these vaccines, with this project, Warp Speed, is now, you see, obstructing the distribution, obstructing it. Donald Trump's going to cost us lives now. I despise these bastards. Do you understand what I'm saying? A friend of mine writes me, he says, I can hear you're frustrated. I'm not frustrated. I'm furious. Listen to these fools on the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. Have to listen to these fools that Donald Trump is going to cost us lives when it's thanks to him and his administration. They'd have cut through the bureaucracy, Fauci's bureaucracy, the FDA's bureaucracy, the NIH bureaucracy. Not shortcuts on science and safety. They got red tape all over the place, these guys, like every other damn bureaucracy. And now Trump is the one who's going to cost us lives. Don't you get furious by this? Sick to your stomach hearing these fools? They're propagandists. Anderson Cooper. What a joke. What a clown. You got a whole clown show there. You got Anderson Cooper. Who's he handed off to, Mr. D. Lemon? And then D. Lemon hands it off to Fredo? What a lineup. What a lineup. Now the biggest dummy of them all, from the office of the president-elect, which apparently is in Wilmington, Delaware. Who knew? Listen to the idiot reporter, then listen to the idiot who responds. Cut 11, go.
Good to see you. I want to start with a question about your pandemic
plan.
Good
to see you. Has a reporter ever said that to President Trump? Mr. Producer, I don't remember one. Good to see you. What are they, related? Go ahead.
Good to see you. I want to start with a question about your pandemic planning and then a question about your economic plan. You spoke about the need to access the outgoing administration's COVID vaccine distribution plans. What do you see as the biggest threat to your transition right now, given President Trump's unprecedented attempt to obstruct and delay a smooth transfer of power?
Now, I don't know who this reporter is. It's not on my list here. I don't know what newsroom he's with. I don't know if any of us know. But that guy's head is so far up Biden's ass, it's not even funny. May I say that on the air, Mr. Producer? If not, then I withdraw it. But it's unbelievable. That's a reporter. Do you know that? You know the word reporter? You know what it means backwards, Mr. Producer? Putz. P-U-T-Z. Okay, let's see how Joe Biden handles this. Go ahead.
More people may die if we don't.
More people may die. How do you know that, genius? How do you know more people may die? This is a sick man. Sick man never got behind the vaccine, always doubted it. The vaccine comes out. He has a Joe Biden press statement from the office of the president-elect. Presidente elect. More people will die. Look here, we need to be in on this. We need to make sure the process is right. We got to make sure we're handling this. And what are you going to do, Joe? We looked at your plan. There was no plan. Go ahead.
Look, as my chief of staff,
I'm looking there, dummy, with your 10-second delay as you're puffing air. Go ahead.
Say who handled Ebola.
The chief of staff handled Ebola. What the hell are you talking about? Chief of staff handled Ebola? See how this works? No credit to Trump on warp speed in the virus, the vaccine on the virus, or the therapeutics on the virus. Meanwhile, his chief of staff handled Ebola. No questions. And all the questions that he is asked are questions to attack Trump. Go ahead.
It's of little use until you're vaccinated. So how do we get the vaccine? How do we get over 300 million Americans vaccinated? What's the game plan? It's a huge, huge, huge.
It's not huge, you idiot. It's huge with an H. That's number one. Number two, you can go on the internet and Google this and you'll have fairly significant amount of information telling you what they're going to do. I know what they could do, Mr. Producer, like Obama Biden did. I think the FBI director, do we still have an FBI director? What's his name again? Ray, what's it? Christopher Ray? Chris Ray? Is Chris Ray still with us? Does anybody know? They could send Chris Ray in with a memo, Mr. Producer, to meet with Joe Biden. And talk to him about, we have a dossier. The Chinese say that the last time you were in Beijing, that you had hookers in your bed, in your hotel. Oh, yeah, I know it's. And something about urinating on you. But don't worry, Mr. President-elect, office in the President-elect, don't worry. We at the FBI, we don't believe this. We don't believe this at the FBI. Remember when they did that to Donald Trump with Russia, Mr. Producer? And this jackass, that was his administration. He sits there. You know, people will die. People will die if we don't have the proper. And then he has Adam Kinzinger, jerk. Then he's got, yo, you need to have the transition. Yeah, we got to do this. So we got. You mean the way they did for Trump? Handing him a dossier. They didn't even give him the dossier. They just quoted from it, which we now know was funded by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. This guy, Elias, who's been the slip and fall ambulance chasing lawyer all over the country for the Democrats. He was the bag man. They got the money to Christopher Steele. Turns out it's a Russian spy who writes nearly the whole damn thing. Anyway, Joe, we have a dossier. And we understand in Beijing, you're in a hotel room. This is what they say. With prostitutes. It's pretty sick, Joe. I hope you can handle this with urination and everything involved. And Joe's response is, really? Do they have pictures? No. Well, then they can't prove it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Okay. Hal Saucy, an RNC monitor in Fulton County, Georgia, Project Veritas, Saturday. At least one Georgia recount auditor was not even looking at the ballots. Cut 15, go.
So, the second person is supposed to be checking it, right? So, three times in 3 minutes, she called out Biden. The second auditor caught it, and she said, no, this is Trump.
I mean, some man is
now, that's just while I'm standing there. So, does the second checker catch it every time? But this lady, three times in 3 minutes, from 209 to 212, she got three wrong.
That's just in the short time that you were...
That I was standing there. And does it get corrected every time? Because the next table I went to right after that, the only reason I left that table is because there was one where the first person was reading it off, handing it to her. She's not even looking at it. She's just putting it in.
Putting it in which set?
Whatever one the first person said. So table 17 was the first one where the woman got it wrong three times. Table 18.
All right, you get the point. It's a little hard to hear. So there's an observer who could actually see something because they're in Georgia, not in Pennsylvania, and he said and heard that in 3 minutes she was calling three ballots for Biden when they were for Trump. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the level of fraud is so intense and so ubiquitous. And he says in the rest of the cut she wasn't even looking at the ballots, just calling them out. Right, Rich? Calling them out for Biden, and she wasn't even looking at the ballots. But don't worry, the courts, no problem. There's no evidence of fraud, at least not enough fraud, and so forth and so on. Let us go to Heather, Charlotte, North Carolina, on the Mark Levin app. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Lousy, but all right, go right ahead. Yes, go ahead, Heather.
I wanted to talk about burden of proof.
Go ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, burden of
proof. I wanted to talk about burden of proof. Everybody keeps talking about how Trump can't meet this huge burden of proof to show fraud and so on. But this is going to end up in the Supreme Court, and where job one is protecting the Constitution. And the court could say, you know, there has to be a threshold burden of proof borne by the election officials. To show that they
They're not going to say that. When you bring a lawsuit, not talking about a criminal case here, you have to have enough proof. The burden is on you, and so we're kind of commingling two things. If you're trying to bring a case that involves systemic fraud, then you have to demonstrate significant fraud. What they're really doing when they bring these individual cases and show fraud is what they're trying to show is that they didn't have systems in place to protect the voter. They're also bringing up constitutional arguments, equal protection, when they treated voters differently based on their party registration or their geography under Bush v. Gore and the 14th Amendment. That's a violation. And so you don't get to go in front of the Supreme Court and just give your opinion. They're not going to tolerate that, or they're not going to just say there's got to be some threshold. What they're going to do is they're going to look very specifically at what the law is, whether the law is constitutional, whether the law has been perverted by somebody in between the state legislature and the court. They should. And in terms of fraud, if the fraud is such that it could be considered systemic or a pattern of fraud, that sort of thing. All right. Thank you for your call. Are our phones okay, Mr. Producer? Seems to be a long delay between my giving out names and people hearing me. I'm just pointing that out. Do I have time for another caller? I don't have time for another call. You know, Pia, how am I doing? I'm furious with this Supreme Court case in Pennsylvania. It has ruined my night. I'll get over it. But when you watch tyranny and you watch people who conduct themselves like thugs in robes, and I've written all about it, it really turns your stomach. And then when you see the press reporting this as if it's a baseball game, Trump lost another one. It's just appalling. I'll be right back.
America's most powerful conservative voice, The Mark Levin Show. Dial in now, 877-381-3811.
Okay. Our buddy, Daniel Horowitz, always at the forefront, writing at the Blaze. Thanksgiving and Christmas might be canceled for the first time ever by tyrannical governors and mayors. But they won't cancel the weekend that they enjoy and the days that they enjoy. His point is, actual crime appears to be an essential service. Enjoying Thanksgiving or Christmas with your family, not so essential. And so now literally be a crime in some of these areas. Yesterday, the Philadelphia mayor announced that with a flick of a pen, that all indoor gatherings would be canceled for the remainder of the calendar year. This includes school, most church services, stores, recreation, even inviting other people to your own home for the holidays. The same time as Philadelphia approaches record homicides for the year, nobody's canceling gang gatherings. In fact, thanks to the jailbreak policy, some of which were put into place because of the virus itself, there's no deterrent against crime. Crime's an essential service in these cities. Last week, Fox 29 reporter Steve Keeley reported that a total of 8 children had been shot in numerous violent incidences throughout Philadelphia since last Sunday. So far, there have been 435 homicides this year in the city of brotherly love, a 39% increase over last year and the most since 1993. The city officials claim to protect children by shutting down their schools for a virus that doesn't really harm them. But what they are failing to do is protect them on the streets from gang bullets and that don't discriminate based on age or immune systems. According to the Philadelphia police, they have solved fewer than 30% of homicides, just 16% of non-fatal shooting cases this year. And yet, look at the mayor. The number of police in the city dwindling because they don't want to work for a crackpot like this. And it goes on. Our government is now ensuring that our homes are no longer our castles, while the public streets become the private fiefdoms of gang members, released criminals, Black Lives Matter rioters. The Philadelphia mayor titled his new royal edict, Safer at Home. Well, the science behind lockdown has proven as ineffective in keeping people safe from the virus as weak on crime policies have been in protecting people from violence. Have you noticed? Dr. Fauci is never on a show with another guest to challenge him or debate him. Have you noticed that, Mr. Producer? Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Not once has Fauci had an interview where he's forced to have a discussion with somebody with the same pedigree in terms of education or is a prominent individual in the same field from Stanford or from Oxford or from Rockefeller College or from Yale. He avoids it. He's scrupulous about what shows he'll go on. And I guarantee you he will not go on any of these shows with anybody who has the knowledge to challenge him. And I mean to civilly challenge him. I have never seen him on a show with another expert. Have you, anybody? No. As I sit here and think about this, he's a potentate. He's a potentate. He's been in the same job 37 years. You're not in the same job 37 years unless you have long fangs and long claws. So no young whippersnapper can get, you know, take your job, or somebody who may actually be smarter, more experienced. And he's been in the government longer than Biden, 50 years. Biden will soon be in, what, 49 years, 50 years, 47, whatever it is. With police being criminalized, murders up 40% this year from the same point in 2019. I mean, similar trend playing out. Minneapolis, Seattle, other large cities where police are faced with a thankless job. In all those cities, the mayors are issuing stern warnings to grandmas who host Thanksgiving. The Minneapolis suburb of St. Cloud, Roberto Williams, 35, was charged with unlawful possession of a firearm after accidentally shooting a five-year-old boy to death. In case you thought this was a decent human being who just experienced a tragic accident, Williams was convicted of robbery in Illinois in 2003 and of unlawful possession of a weapon in 2005, 2010, and 2017. He also had outstanding charges for first-degree robbery with a trial set for January. Despite all those gun charges, he was allowed to remain free. But you damn well better not have Thanksgiving. And Horowitz says revolutions were fought over a lesser degree of perfidy, betrayal, and dystopian governance that we face today from the ruling class. And he's exactly right, which was the point of my opening in the beginning of this show. Our tolerance for tyranny is growing. Is growing. And you have fellow citizens who are voting for it. We have two races for the Senate in Georgia. I don't know if we're ahead, behind, or it's even, but it's close. Even though the Democrat Party, under whose flag these two run, even though that party's telling us that it rejects the Constitution, is going to destroy the court system, is going to destroy the Senate, and try and destroy the vote for millions and millions of people who don't live in the cities. And we're told the election's going to be close. Now, that's a little shocking, isn't it? What's the mortality rate today for the coronavirus? It's the same it was yesterday. Two-thirds of 1%. Two-thirds of 1%. Look what's going on around you. If you watched any of the horrific Wolfpack beatings of American citizens who actually were not mostly peaceful, totally peaceful in their support of the president over the weekend, your stomach was turned inside out. It turns out, as reported in PJ Media, I think that's where this is, Black Lives Matter activists filmed sucker punching the man. Remember, you sucker punched that man? The man looked to be 65, 68, 70 years old. He's trying to walk away. You can see he's frightened for his life. And this punk comes up behind him and sucker punches him on the side of the head, and he falls flat on his face on the ground. And then somebody runs up and kicks him in the head. Well, that Black Lives Matter activist who has not been condemned by LeBron James, who's not been condemned by Steph Curry, who's not been condemned by Popovich, who's not been condemned by a single corporation, by a single mayor, by any of the people who've signed up with Black Lives Matter. Well, he's a child sex offender, recently released from prison. But that's okay. He's a Black Lives Matter member, too. And the woman who came up and kicked that man in the head, Mr. Producer, turns out she's reportedly a journalism student. Did you know that? Apparently a journalism student. I think she'd do great on CNN or MSNBC. They kick us in the head every night. And they kick us in other places too. Let us go to Avi, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The great WPHT country. How are you, Avi?
Good evening, Mark. I just want to thank you for doing what you do. I just wanted to let you know that you may know this, and some of your listeners may know this, that the Jewish communities every Saturday would read from the Torah, from the Bible. Last week's chapter was Chayei Sarah. Chapter after this chapter is 1 Kings 1 through 31. Very interesting how it points out that King David was lying on his deathbed, and one of his sons declared himself king who wasn't supposed to. And he was running around gathering support. Some people went along with him. One of the Kohanim, the high priests, went along with him. He was handsome. He was this. He was articulate. Turns out King Solomon was the rightful king appointed by King David. It's very interesting post-election, and then this chapter is associated with it. Fight.
It's cutting in and out. Are you there, Avi? Avi's not there. Let me tell you something. I have a wonderful rabbi. Wonderful rabbi, Rabbi Cohen. He's a Chabad rabbi. And we meet almost every Friday. Now, why do we meet almost every Friday before Shabbat, before the sun goes down? Why do we do that? Because I said to him, I want to learn ancient history. I want to learn ancient history. I want to learn history in the Bible. Because I don't think I know it well enough. I know American history like the back of my hand, although you can always learn more. But I want to understand who the kings were. I want to understand who the prophets were. I want to understand what they said. I want to understand the history that goes back 4,000 years. And of course, works its way up to today. So every Friday when I'm home, at least, Rabbi Cohen comes to the house, and for an hour, we go through it. I never told anybody that. I haven't told you that, have I, Mr. Producer? So we're talking about Samuel, which is fascinating. Samuel is fascinating. I don't have enough time to do this tonight, or maybe not any night. I'm no expert, so I'd just be a very poor student passing it on to you anyway. But Samuel is a fascinating, and I'll tell you what. I was raised as a Reformed Jew. I have nothing against anybody. Nothing against anybody. And I learned almost no history of the Jewish people and almost no Hebrew in Reformed Judaism. I would go to these services. They would read from the Torah. Maybe there was somebody having a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. There'd be some of that. We'd open the union prayer book, you know, speak in unison, that sort of thing, mostly in English. Last about an hour, hour and 10 minutes. And I always knew at the end, Mr. Producer, we would have some grape juice and a sugar cookie. And that's where my mind was, is a grape juice and a sugar cookie. I'm certainly not condemning all Reformed Jews, but you need to do a better job, Reform Judaism. You need to be less political. You don't need to be an appendage to the Democrat Party. And you really need to focus, in my view, less on politics, far less on liberalism, and a lot more on faith. I'm just telling you that so you can keep those pews filled. Otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of people. Why did I mention that? Because I felt like it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I want all these fascistic governors and mayors to know something. If you're a Levinite out there, if I want to eat turkey, there's not a GD thing you can do about it. Turkey, stuffing, the whole damn thing. On Thursday, all damn day, morning, noon, and night. And I want as many family members in my home as possible. Got it? We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving like we never had. More people, more food, all damn day long. Now, what are you pukes going to do about it? What are you pukes in the government going to do about it? Who the hell do you think you are? You work for us. We're not your damn servants. You're pushing the American people to the brink. Same with these bastards, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. How long do you think you're going to push people around where we're going to stand there and watch this crap? And you and the media, who inflame it all. And no, when it comes to Joe Biden, God forbid if he wins, no, there's no peaceful transition. You should be under immediate criminal investigation, just like you did to our guy. You should face impeachment investigations. Now, none of this will occur because we don't have a majority yet in the Senate. But no, we're not going to listen to Rubio. No, we're not going to listen to King Zet, whoever the hell he is. You rhinos can go to hell, too. You're staring tyranny in the face. And we know it. And you're not our leaders. And you don't get to tell us what to do. And I like the white meat on my turkey. Am I allowed to use the word white, Mr. Producer? I like the white breast. Am I allowed to say breast, Mr. Producer? And I like the legs, too. Can I say the legs, too? You're damn right. Now, Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom. And freedom requires an educated people, a people of good character, to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years. Hillsdale continues to provide the education today, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide, through its free online courses, its support of classical K-12 charter schools, and its other outreach efforts on behalf of liberty. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating back to 1844, commit the college to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. And this learning includes the Constitution, includes the laws of nature and nature's God, as described in the Declaration of Independence, and includes America's great heritage of liberty that too often today is falsely derided or denied. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844. And it'll continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com. And you mayors and governors, you know what you can do with that turkey? Shove it. Stuffing and all. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have all your family there. That's what you do.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.